Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, we've been some places over the years on this radio show. We have gone to, on today's show alone, Gainesville, Florida, Spokane, Washington. That's the reach of this show, which I'm doing from my house, by the way, in the home studio. Our next guest, legendary sports writer John Henderson, who picked up and moved to Rome himself a few years ago. I wanted to know what was going on in Italy, and John Henderson joining us now. How are you, sir?
I'm alive. Hasn't caught me yet. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear that you're alive. Give us the scene. What is it like there? How did this develop sort of in your sphere there?
Well, I've been kind of telling people this is kind of like being an extra in a science fiction movie. It's kind of like where Contagion meets the road, where the first scene starts with some exotic disease comes out of and then evolves into Europe, where all of a sudden, well, the next scene is all these people scrambling to get the hell out of Lombardy. And the third scene is me sitting in my apartment trying to figure out how to stay healthy. It's very eerie being here and being around so much death, even though we're in the South, we're a little ways from it. But every day we look at the map of Italy and that little red blot of death keeps getting bigger and bigger. And now it's like a scene on the road. There is nobody on the streets in Rome. This is a city of 2.8 million people, and we get 9 million tourists, 11 million tourists a year, and there's nobody out. You know, I go outside in my neighborhood, and it's just silent. And it's the one good thing, though, is the Italians are really sticking to the edict. They're really staying home, and they're keeping their distance.
What's your understanding on how this got out of control in Italy? Because Italy has now become like this focal point when everybody says, we don't want it to turn out like Italy, and yet we're pacing that way in the United States.
Okay, this is what happened. Patient one was this guy in a small town in Lombardy. He had flu symptoms, and he went in, this is mid-February, he went into the hospital, and they checked him out, gave him some medicine, and he left. But in the meantime, he went out dancing, played golf, exercised, hung out with his friends, and he got worse. He went back to the hospital, and they tested him for coronavirus, and he had it. Well, in the meantime, he infected everybody in the hospital twice. By the time they knew it was coronavirus, it hit Italy. Who knows how many hundreds of people had it. Once that happened, it became a wildfire, and Italy just couldn't catch up. Italy has done a very good job of containing this thing, but they made some missteps. Early, they locked down a series of small towns in Lombardy, southeast of Milan. And then it started getting, the numbers kept climbing. Then they cut off all of Lombardy. And then it kept getting worse. And then finally, on March 11th, they shut down the entire country. And that's exactly what happened. It is kind of a freak of nature sort of thing. I've heard some horrible racist rumors come out of the United States. Oh, they sold all the leather companies in Milan to Chinese, and they ship 100,000 Chinese workers here, and that's what happened. No, it has nothing to do with it. It was one guy who touched a lot of people. That made Italy the epicenter of the world.
We're talking to John Henderson, a former sports writer here, Eugene kid who grew up and now lives in Rome. He's got a travel blog called The Dog-Eared Passport. John, let me ask you, what can the United States learn from Italy? Because right now, you know, we have various edicts in different states, like Florida's governor hasn't said a thing. In Oregon, they're telling everyone to stay home. But yet over the weekend, a bunch of people went to the coast. You got to be shaking your head a little bit from Rome looking at that.
All of Italy is shaking their head about the United States. We're just saying you guys are going, just looking at what has happened from President Trump's complete lackadaisical attitude when this thing first broke, to people flocking to the Florida beaches and then having them close after spring break leaves, you guys are going to get hit with a tsunami of death. I swear you will. You have no idea what's coming. You started too late, have too few tests, and you've had too many people spread this thing. You guys are 10 days behind Italy, and you haven't done nearly the precautions that we have. They should actually listen to you, John, because I heard the tail end of your last segment. Keep your distance, because I'm not a scientist, but I've learned a lot about this in the last 3 weeks. And every doctor, every nurse I've talked to, everything I've read in the local papers, everything I've heard on TV, the most important thing you can do to stay healthy and to kill this thing is keep your distance. Keep a meter apart, keep 2 meters apart, and don't touch anyone, don't touch anybody. That's much more important than wearing a mask. It's much more important than washing your hands. It's much more important than holding toilet paper. For God's sake, Americans, what are you guys thinking? It's ridiculous. But the virus cannot live unless it can feed on other humans. And China has shown that. They have zero deaths now. And we're hoping that it's an incubation period for the virus is 2 weeks. And they put the edict on the 11th of March. The 2 weeks will end on Wednesday. So we're hoping that after Wednesday, the numbers will start declining.
John Henderson joining us from Rome, Italy, former sports writer. The sports world in Italy, I imagine, in the United States, there are a lot of people saying, hey, no sports, this stinks. What has that been like in Italy to not have the various sporting events that usually are going on this time of year?
I haven't heard a peep about it, to be honest with you. I'm a huge AS Roma fan. I was in the Europa League. Atalanta out of Bergamo is in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and Bergamo is the most hard-hit city in Italy. Everybody I've talked to, the more concerned about what's going to happen with this virus. This in Italy, this thing is like 9/11 was in the United States. Everybody either knows somebody who's died or knows somebody who knows somebody who died. And the way you die from this thing is gruesome. You basically get you get a dry cough, and you get a dry cough and a fever. And then if it advances, your lungs fill with fluids. And unless you can clear those fluids, you're going to basically drown in your bed alone. And I know somebody who knows who works with somebody who watched her mother die from the other side of a plane of glass. She went from healthy to dead in a week. And so people, when you hear stories like that day in and day out here, people aren't too worried about their soccer club.
You mentioned sort of staying away from each other. You have been quarantined yourself along with other Italians that are there. How long were you alone? And what did you do to pass that time?
Well, I'm still in it. I have not been around anybody. I have not been in a crowd of any kind since March 8th. Since then, I've left the house, my apartment, 5 times, no longer for more than 5 minutes. I went around the corner twice, 3 times to my grocery store, and around the corner and around the other corner to my pharmacy. And that's it. I haven't gone more, since March 8th, I haven't gone more than 100 meters. That's the last time I saw my girlfriend. And so, and that's another thing is that you don't know who has it and who doesn't. I'm clear, I have a sniffle. I know I don't have it. But my girlfriend has been working in an office with a bunch of old men, and her parents are in her 80s. She doesn't have any symptoms, but we don't know if she does or not. She might. We don't know for another 2 weeks. So in the meantime, we're not seeing each other, and I'm sitting at home, and I research the virus. I write about it once a week in Dog Ear Passport. I just finished Francesco Totti's 500-page autobiography in Italian. I'm watching Netflix. I study a little Italian. I cook. I eat. I watch more Netflix. I'm running out of Netflix. My God, the other night I watched a two-hour documentary on sawdust. I mean, it's getting pretty cool out here. But you know, I'm not bored. I think if this is a really tough life, if I'm a bit of a loner, so I like being alone, but if you don't like to read or like to drink, you're going to have some problems, because this is what you got to do. Most people in Italy are really adhering to this edict. They stay home, stay away from people. So you hunker down and you try to keep busy and just wait for this thing to die.
You spent nearly 40 years as a sports writer, the last 23 at the Denver Post, before moving to Rome. You took a one-way ticket there. Just that transition must have given you whiplash a little bit. Is there any part of you that misses the United States, or you kind of look back and go, I got what I needed there?
I miss two things in America. I miss college football and Barack Obama. those are the only two things I miss. This is my home. My heart is here. My soul is here. I'll never feel Italian, but I feel that Italy has embraced me. And I hate to see America, what it is going to go through, but it's, you know, I hate to say this, but it's a lot of it's your own fault, because you're not taking this thing seriously, and you've got a leader who didn't take it seriously. And fortunately, Italy's got a guy named Giuseppe Conte who came on TV and told us what we had to do, and he gave us the calming influence that Trump had a chance to the other day and didn't. So no, I don't miss that part of America. I have everything I need in Italy. I love the people. I love the food and the wine, especially the beauty. I've told people it's living in Rome is like living in an outdoor museum, and I'll never leave.
We're talking to John Henderson from Rome, Italy. There was some confusion on Friday when the governor of Oregon gave a gentle suggestion that people should stay home, and then that rolled into a lot of scolding from people who were looking at everybody going to the coast and hanging out in parks and having play dates and such. Was there any confusion in Italy when they said everybody needs to stay home? Are you allowed to go out to the grocery store? Are you allowed to go anywhere essential? What is that like?
This is what they did, John. On the 11th, when Giuseppe Conte had his State of the Union address, so to speak, and told the nation what has to be done, he said four things are allowed to do. You can go to work. You can do called a situazione di necessità, an emergency. You've got to go to the pharmacy. You've got to go to a supermarket to get food. You have to go to the post office to pay bills. Or you have to go to the hospital or a clinic for health purposes, or you have to be returning home from one of those places. The government issues out a form that you've got to print out, and every time you walk out that door, you've got to mark it down, mark the reason you're out, and you got to sign it and you got to date it, including your phone number, your carte d'identité, your ID number. And if you don't have that, you can get fined up to 200 euros and 3 months in jail. Now, they've had most of the people are adhering to that, but some people are still trying to get away with it. And the police, John, are everywhere. Since this edict was put in on March 11th, they have checked 200,000 people and arrested 53,000 of them. They are serious. But they said, this is what you got to do to stop this thing. And I heard that the motels on the Oregon coast really advertised great rates this past weekend.
I don't know, but I know a bunch of people went there. And I was looking at the photographs. And the mayor of Tillamook is saying, everybody stay away because their hospitals just can't withstand the impact.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. If you think you can go to the coast and stay 1 meter away from everybody, they're crazy. That's going to be a breeding ground for the virus. The United States has got to shut down the whole thing. They got to shut down everybody. They got to let only people out by necessity. When I go to the supermarket, they only let in, and I heard that supermarkets are really crowded in the United States. They aren't here. They only let in, they're only allowed about 10 people in at a time, and you wait outside. And they have like a bouncer, so to speak, who keeps everybody 1 meter, 2 meters apart. And when somebody comes out of the supermarket, they let somebody in. And it is the supermarket is very well run. It's organized, and there's plenty of food and plenty of toilet paper. That's another thing that the prime minister did here, is he told everybody, don't worry, we're going to have plenty of food everywhere. And there has been. There hasn't been a shortage of anything. There's nobody's hoarding anything. There's no panic involved. And I think I'm really hoping that that in the next week, the numbers really start to start going downhill like they do with China in Italy. But the United States is going to go straight up because they have not done the containment that they needed to do.
John Henderson joining us, longtime sports writer, now in Rome, Italy. All right, you saw that the Olympics have been postponed, which I think was the right move. You're familiar with the seasons in our country where the NFL and college football are the thing that everybody's looking at now. What's your feeling on best case scenario if there's a vaccine or if we are able to flatten that curve? Best case scenario, John Henderson, is there a college football season? Does it start on time?
You'd be really pushing it. If they find a vaccine, first of all, you have to get it to a lot of people very fast, and that couldn't happen until the fall. I'm no scientist, but I can't. If the college players report in August, with the way the trajectory of the cases in the United States are, I don't see how they can have it in August. I don't see how they can have a college football season. I really don't. I haven't really thought about that, but look at the timeline now. The way I think in Europe, I think they could possibly get the soccer season started maybe in the fall, because I think they got a better contain the United States does. But I don't see a college football season. That'd be awfully tough. You got to remember the 2-week incubation period where people may not show symptoms.
Sure.
So you have to wait 2 weeks to test everybody who doesn't have symptoms or treat the ones that are showing them. That's going to take months. And the best case scenario I've heard from scientists in Italy is they may not, even in Italy, this edict that they're having, this shutdown, may last for another couple months. And if that's the case, then this virus is going to last for a long time.
John Henderson, you stay safe, and we're here if you need us, and I appreciate you making time for us. What are we pushing, 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. there?
About 10:30.
10:30. There you go.
No problem. I got nothing else to do, John. not training for any marathons or planning any trips to Tajikistan.
Stay safe, my friend.
You too, buddy. See ya.
All right. There's John Henderson from Rome, Italy. Judah Newby, Alabama Adriana, listeners, what do you think when you hear that from Henderson? I want your feedback. 503-417-7575. They're like 10 days in front of us when it comes to this virus and sort of the planning and the sports landscape, especially. Do we have a best case scenario when it comes to the college football season? And I want to know what your takeaway was in hearing somebody who's living in Rome sort of looking at the United States, shaking their head. I appreciate those of you who stayed with us throughout that interview. He was Skyping in, and I know at a couple points it got a little pixelated and interrupted. But I think ultimately I wanted his expertise. I wanted him being somebody on the ground in Italy to talk about what he's seeing and what he's living through, because I think we're about to hit that phase where we're all going to be a little housebound. It is encouraging to me to hear him rather upbeat despite the fact that he has been for 2 weeks isolated. 503-417-7575. I want your feedback on that. For those of you who have listened to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show for years, you may be well aware that we've done some dumb things on this show over the years. I've tried to spread those dumb things out because if I could spread those out as far away from each other as possible, then you won't think of this as a dumb show. You'll just say, hey, that was a dumb moment on a really good show. And so that's been my aim, is to spread those things out. It was not dumb to bring John Henderson on the show, although some people on social media are awfully upset about what he said. He basically said all of Italy is shaking its head at the United States. And then he went on to say, stay away from each other. It is more important than a mask. It is more important than hoarding toilet paper. Now, some people are saying, well, yeah, look at it. People in Italy shaking their heads at us. Look at them. They haven't exactly done. That's the point. That's the point. John Henderson is pointing out that Italy handled this wrong. Italy did not take this seriously enough, and therefore Italy has ended up in a bad situation. I want your reaction to the John Henderson interview. 503-417-7575. Let's go around the room. Alabama, Adriana, what'd you hear from Henderson that you liked or maybe didn't like? Your reaction.
I think he's definitely happy that he got out of the United States. You can tell he said it. But I think that a lot of his points are valid. And yeah, like they may be shaking their heads at us, but I think it's because they want us to be better, you know?
I agree. Judah.
Well, you can tell he's a writer, you know, when he speaks with particular language, like you're going to be hit with a tsunami of death. That's not a typical, that's definitely a writer's phraseology. You know, that being, and you can tell where his partisan lies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so, but I also think,
but it's not necessarily inaccurate, too. I mean, the dude is at the epicenter of it all, so you got to take his word for it to some degree.
I also think, you know, why do you think he used that term, tsunami of death?
Be an attention getter, but not necessarily to, it's not inaccurate necessarily. It could still be accurate, but I mean, at some point, in order to take it, quote unquote, seriously enough, we have to be shocked, and that's language that's shocking.
Yeah, I think what he was trying to do was say, it very emphatically, take this seriously. If you don't take this seriously, you know, look at us. We're housebound. We've been housebound. Today in Italy, they saw sort of a little flattening of that curve, which I think encouraged a lot of people there. But you know, they had 157 new corona cases in the last 24 hours in the Lazio region. That was the lowest total in 4 days. The number of new deaths in the last 24 hours, 601. That brings the death total in Italy to 6,077. So it was the third day that they had a drop. So they're calling that good news, right? They're saying, all right, look, the number of new cases reported in the last 24 hours, 4,789. That's not only the fewest in 4 days, but that's the day's the lowest total since the outbreak began. So there you go. You've got some good news going on with those things, but I think he's living in it, and he's going, you know, people in Europe are laughing at the Americans, not in a good way, going, you know, you know, are you doing okay? Are you riding a bike? Did you go to the...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.